Spots were moved to facilitate the diversion routes. Maybe we need to communicate it slightly better. But I can look at getting maps up. But,
I don't think the bus companies communicated with the parents enough. The only other thing I would say is you can walk past the works. Yes, you cannot drive. I know it was a wet morning this morning, but I would say you can walk and you can cycle. So for parents who, you know, I appreciate that on wet mornings they'd like to drive to the bus stops, but for the most part you will be able to walk and cycle through the
village. Alright, okay. Olive, can I leave last word to you on this, Olive? You've heard there from Carmel about some of the suggestions that she's made.
Yeah, okay, very good. We look at the website and see can we get the maps up and communicate it out a bit better in that way. And just to thank your listeners for their patience and hopefully we'll get through this. So I think the first phase at that junction is 2 weeks, which is probably the most disruptive. And as the phases move, hopefully the impact will lessen. So it's 8 weeks in total, but I think the first 2 weeks are probably the most impactful.
All right. So okay, on that note, as Carmel Kelly said, the works are absolutely essential, but hopefully there'll always be difficulties on the first day, but there's significant disruption in Sallins this morning, and Olive and her team, I'm sure we'll look into that as well. That's Olive Marshall, Wastewater Regional Lead with Irish Water, on that and the boil water notice. We'll remind you, of course, on a daily basis here about that boil water notice, but be very, very careful. Don't use that water if you're getting it from the Monastery Evan water supply without boiling it. And boiling it means, once it comes to the boil, leave it boiling for at least 1 minute, and even for pets, give them water that has been boiled, of course, cooled, and so forth. Thanks to Olive and Fianna Fáil councillor in Sallins, Carmel Kelly.
Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, welcome back. In a moment, we're going live to South Carolina to speak to a Newbridge woman about the whole general situation in the southern states. We've been all over the states previously, but never that far down south. And we've been in Australia, Canada, the United States, etc., etc., etc. Even in Africa, if you don't mind. Now, we have good news if you're looking for a PCR, a COVID test, because, well, let's say, good morning, Ian. How are you doing?
Hi, Clem. Good morning.
Thank you. Ian, you're joining us from the Moorfield GAA Testing Centre, and I understand that there's a huge number of PCR tests or slots available. Why and what happened?
Yeah, basically, hi, Clem, and thanks for having me on. I just wanted to publicise it across the region. Yeah, we have over 960 slots available online right now. So if anyone or any family needs testing, if they go onto the HSE website, they'll be able to get tested straight away. Basically, there was a slight error in opening the portal last night, and I think there was a technical hitch, as you're well aware of, in software.
Oh, yeah.
So the portal is open now, and there's 960 slots. We had 980, and there's already 20 people have spotted the availability. So I just want to publicise it across the region. If anyone's really stressed or needing a test, if they go online, we'll look after them straight away.
So go online to the hse.ie, is it?
Yeah, and go to book a test, and then just select County Kildare.
All
and
right.
Then you'll see the Moorfield availability right in front of you.
All right, folks, the race is on. And press the button now. Go on the hse.ie website, book a test, pick County Kildare as the county, and Moorfield GAA, right in the heart of Newbridge, has 900 slots. How many slots have you available?
There was over 960 there 5 minutes ago, I just checked.
Right, and the 20 people have gone on already. Well, I think we'll get a bit of a rush now because people have been crying out for those. Ian, thanks a million for the call, and much appreciate you coming on.
Clem, just before I go, I just want to convey my sincerest gratitude to Moorfield GAA Club. They've been absolutely outstanding in helping the community, and nothing is too big or too small for their help. And I just want to convey that they've really stood up to be counted, and they're a pleasure to deal with.
The Moors are always a great, great community. Just roughly, would you describe to people who might be going online as to where Moorfield GAA Centre is?
Well, if you're coming up off the N7, head towards the Curragh Racecourse, and if you travel along the R139 along the back of the new stand there at the Curragh, Moorfield is just on the right hand side at the very end of the stand heading towards Kildare Town. And if you're obviously coming from Kildare Town, It's just before the main stand on the left.
Kildare people will know that. Remember, Moorfield GA Club is not in Newbridge Town Centre. It's in the Curragh Racecourse. So
if you're
coming off the motorway, the M7, towards and take the exit to the Curragh Racecourse, drive into the Curragh Racecourse, the back of the new stand, keep going, you'll come across Moorfield, look out for the signs.
Yeah, and there's two big signs there as well, Clem.
We presume that Kildare people coming from Kildare Town, even though they might be Round Towers footballers and stuff like that, know well where Moorfield footballers are. So Moorfield GAA Club, there are over 900 PCR slots available now. They won't be there too long. Go on the HSE website, hse.ie, and click on book a test, and then click the county and you'll see Moorfield Centre there. Ian, you and your colleagues are doing incredible work in the various centres around the country, and look, at all we can say is we're all indebted to you and your team at all the centres in Kildare and across the country as well.
Thanks very much, Clem. That's greatly appreciated.
Not at all, and thank you. That's Ian from the Moorfield Testing Centre. A very good morning, Jen Dowdle, and you're extremely welcome from all of sunny South Carolina to KFM Radio on this Monday morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell me a little about yourself. You're from Newbridge originally.
Yes, I moved to the United States when I was about, I want to say, 3, and we lived in New York for a couple of years, and then my dad's job brought us down to South Carolina, and we've been living in South Carolina for probably about maybe 20 years now, give or take. We moved here in 97.
I know a gentleman should never ask a lady her age. You said you moved there when you were 3 to the United States. How many years ago was that?
Oh gosh, probably over 20 years, because I'm 35 now. 20 years.
Tell me a little about your family in Newbridge, firstly.
My aunt and uncle still live in Newbridge. My grandparents used to live in Newbridge, but they moved to Mayo a couple of years ago, so now they live in Mayo. And I have a lot of cousins that live in Newbridge. My brother lives in Newbridge, and my other cousins actually just moved to Mayo not too long ago. So I still have some family in Newbridge, and then some have just moved to Mayo recently.
Cousins all Dowdles as well?
Yes.
Now, you moved first to where in the United States?
We lived in Rochester, New York.
And your dad did what kind of work?
He works for a company called 3M. Mm-hmm. So they make tape, they make surgical supplies, they do a lot of fabric, they do a number of things.
It was a very big change then, having been in Rochester, New York, to move all the way down south to South Carolina.
Yes, it was definitely a culture shock. There was a lot of things down here that I wasn't used to up in New York. For example, you're supposed to call people ma'am or sir, and you know, up in New York you kind of really don't do that, so it kind of took me a while to get used to it. And now, living here so long, I do it out of habit. But they expect you to, you know, they teach the children in school, you know, when you address your teacher, it's ma'am and, you know, or sir and all that good stuff. So that took me a while to get used to it. I would say they're pretty friendly down here. I found there's not many Catholic churches around here. There's a lot of the South is made up of Baptists or Presbyterians or Methodists. So there's a wide variety of religions down here. But a lot of people from actually up north have migrated down here. So I think there's a bit of more ethnicity now than there was maybe when I first moved down here. But, I mean, people seem to be very, very friendly down here.
What's the whole area, the whole region of South Carolina and the other southern states? But in particular, maybe where you live in. Where in South Carolina do you live, Jen?
I live in Greenville.
What's the whole race relations set up like in the southern states nowadays? Has it moved on progressively from what it was many decades ago in terms of equality?
I would definitely say so. I mean, obviously there's some, you know, there's still some
tension, I suppose,
issues with that. Yeah. But I mean, I would say that there's definitely probably a huge progression than what it used to be back in the day.
What about COVID then in the last couple of years? We see on our television screens here in Ireland, regularly hear about the numbers, the millions of cases that have been contracted. And we're talking about not just millions, but tens of millions of cases who have been contracted. And I think I saw over the weekend that over 5 million deaths have resulted in the United States from COVID. How about in your own region?
Pretty bad over here. The numbers keep on changing every day for the state of South Carolina because the CDC has to catch up and give us their input and their final count. But we have, numerous positive people every single day. It doesn't stop.
What about restrictions in terms of movement, going into shops, entertainment? And the kind of restrictions we have here in Ireland. Do you have those in South Carolina, or is it much more open?
No, we don't right now. The governor was actually questioned about that the other day, and he said that he is not going to shut anything down. They're not going to call a state of emergency. Now, when COVID first came out for a couple of months, you couldn't go into any shops. You couldn't go to movie theaters. You couldn't go out and about, but now it's obviously more relaxed. Sometimes you'll see people wear a mask in the store, sometimes you won't. But I think I feel that this wave is definitely worse than the first wave. But unfortunately, the governor doesn't feel that at this time there needs to be a state of emergency.
So people generally would just go about their daily business as nearly normal, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, do you miss Ireland?
I do. The last time I was home was in 2019 for my grandmother's 80th birthday, and usually we go home for about 2 weeks, and when I leave, it's hard sometimes, but yeah, as I get older, I miss it a lot, actually.
Yeah. What's your grandmother's name?
Vera.
Vera Dowdle.
Yes.
And is she still living in Newbridge, or is she one of those who moved to Mayo?
She lives in Mayo now.
On a day-to-day basis, what do you do?
We would just walk to the shops. We would go around the corner to visit my aunt because when we all lived in Newbridge, funnily enough, we all lived around the corner from each other. So I would, walk around the corner to go visit my grandfather who still lives in Newbridge, go out to the pub at night and, just mm-hmm. do what I normally would do when I would come home to visit.
All right. What's your grandfather's name who's still in Newbridge?
His name is Michael Kenny.
Michael Kenny.
Yeah, but people call him Mick.
Listen, it's lovely talking to you. I know you listen to KFM on a daily basis down in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, almost every morning.
Yeah, well, it was great that you got in touch with us via the WhatsApp. Oh, and just one thing, I can't let you go without asking you. Is the climate as beautiful and as gorgeous and as sunny as we seem to see on films of the southern states?
Yes, it's very nice here. We don't get the snow like everybody else does. Maybe if we're lucky, we get it once a year, once every other year. But I think probably about a week or two ago, it was actually 70 degrees. It was lovely, actually. It was almost like spring for January.
Right. Well, we had mild weather up to the weekend when we got snow here, including in Kildare. Well, listen, lovely talking to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Jen Dowdle, yeah, and do you know what time it's there now? 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 hours is the difference. I have this sort of beautiful, idealistic image of the southern states, the big estates and the mansions and all that lovely sunshine. Like when you see the US Masters Golf at Augusta and those beautiful manicured courses and stuff like that. Anyway, it was great to hear from Jen Dowdle, and all the Dowdles around Newbridge will have been pleased to hear that, I'm sure, as well. Traditions for Little Christmas, as a listener, decorations had to come down on the 6th of January. Bad luck in the household if they didn't. It's a tradition some people, including me, still keep. But then decorations only went up Christmas week. It was also easy back then, as decorations were mainly holly and ivy. This would then be burned. I love the programme, says Sandy, you and your crew. God, do you remember the old decorations that were like coloured paper? The ones that you, like a concertina or an accordion, that you stretched out and hung up in the ceiling. And I'm going way, way back now. I'm not talking about the really, really shiny, bright ones. They were just tissue paper, the original decorations. Oh, when life was so simple.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
So Paddy lay back, oh Paddy lay back, taking your snack, take your turn, ball on your caps and leave them board. But a bow ship for England lies behind me. We're bound for Bolivar, is around the horn. Oh, last night there was a great demand for
sailors, for the colonies of Frisco and for France. So I claimed aboard a liner ship to Hotspur, with paralytic drunk in my advance. So Paddy lay back,
oh Paddy lay back,
taking your snack,
taking your snack,
take your turn, put on your caps and leave aboard. For a bow ship for England, boys, be happy. We're bound for Ballymurray's around the horn. There was Frenchman, there was German, there was Russians, and Jolly Jacks kept crossing the free from France. And not one of them could speak a word of English, but it answered to the name of Bill or Sham. Oh Paddy lay back,
oh Paddy lay back,
take in your snack,
take in your snack,
take your turn, put on your caps and leave aboard. But a bow ship for England buys me happy, we're bound for Ballymurray's around the horn.
Let's see the hands, folks. Come on, here we go. Look, everybody in the house. Yeah.
Well, I woke up in the morning sick and sore. I wish I'd never sailed away again. Till I'd be sick and tumbling through the floor. Get up and pay attention to your name. Oh, Paddy lay back.
Oh, Paddy lay back.
Take in your snack.
Take in your snack.
Take your turn, but on your caps and leave on board. But a boat ship for England buys me handy. We're bound for Ballymurray's around the horn. Oh, Paddy lay back.
Oh, Paddy lay back.
Take in your snack.
Take in your snack.
Take your turn, but on your caps and leave on board. But a boat ship for England buys me handy. We're bound for Ballymurray's. We're bound for Ballymurray's. We're bound for Ballymurray's around the heart.
Oh, indeed, Paddy Lieback. That's the group The Druids, and whose lead singer is Mick O'Brien. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning, Clem. Thanks very much for having me on.
Not at all. Thank you for joining us. We said we'd fire that bit of music in there. The Druids, of course, probably the best-known folk group around not alone parts of this country, but indeed their last album of about a year or two ago was recorded in the States, wasn't it, Mick?
That's right. That track that you played there is taken off an album called The Druids Live at the Motor City Irish Festival in Detroit, and it was recorded in 2019, if my memory serves me right, to an audience of about 25,000 people in the summer of 2019.
It was indeed. I have the album. Now, Mick, the reason you're joining us this morning is, of course, because you want to bemoan the lack of supports available for musicians like yourself, groups like yourselves, and the music industry in general.
Yeah, it's kind of like, here we go again, Clem. You know, as people will know, they don't need reminding, but we haven't really gigged in 18 months up until September of 21. So the previous 18 months was barren, completely barren because of COVID, and understandable as well, of course. And I suppose at the back of all that is our livelihoods were gone. You know, we're a professional band. We earn our living from touring. We earn our living from travelling. We travel extensively across the States and England and the UK and Europe. And the other thing, I suppose, I'd like to say as well is that we bring the name of Kildare with us no matter where we go. And no matter where we play, we're introduced as a Kildare band, even though I'm from Wexford. But the rest of the lads are from Kildare. And we carry the flag of Kildare with us no matter where we go. And I suppose, really, we're back here now, January 2022, after about maybe 3 months or 3.5 months of trying to get back gigging, the word came out that we could get back playing again in September 21. And, you know, we had to kind of plug in the apparatus again and get ourselves going, the road crew, you know, sound engineers, ourselves as well.
And then it all fell off a cliff with the current variant and that Omicron. Mick, what kind of supports then were available to professional musicians?
Well, it's an interesting question, Clem. I suppose from the government's point of view, they would say that there were supports available, and they did provide some stimulus packages to different organisations like the Arts Council and many others, and applications had to be made for them. And I have to be honest and say, Clem, we applied for all of them. After everything that came out, we applied for them and got nothing. And I mean, like, zero. You know, the time that was spent filling in application forms, there was one application form, I think I spent about 7 hours filling it in, and sent it in, and you wouldn't even get a reply back. Money did filter down, but it's amazing, like, you know, the money went to people who are extremely well known within the business. I'm not going to start naming names, but, you know, very, very well off, very established acts, you know, that would have a serious bank account, and money went to them for recording stimulus packages for so on. We applied for funding to record an album in the lockdown. We don't have a serious bank account. You know, we live from gig to gig.
And on what basis was it declined?
Declined on that not the adequate information was provided. Now, anything that they asked for, we provided the information.
And what was inadequate then, in their view?
We asked for clarification on it, and we asked for feedback on it, and we got done.
Okay. So basically, what have you been relying on since, Mick?
Well, basically, we've the PUP, the musicians and the band got the PUP the same as everybody else, and that's really about it. Like what people fail to see, I think, with in the music industry, is that our band is a business. Like I was horrified this morning listening to the national station, and one of the esteemed representatives from Kildare was defending the fact that the insurance industry, which one company or a couple of companies made $350 million last year, were supported by the government.
Right, but in terms of that, I mean, most musicians I know are in it primarily for the entertainment factor, to perform, to get up on the stage, and yes, of course, the financial supports are necessary, but you can achieve that by getting up on the stage. But I don't know, Mick, is the likelihood of how soon it's going to resume again with everything closing at 8 o'clock in the evenings. We're told that Omicron will peak by the end of this week. I wouldn't actually hold my breath on that. But the hope, I suppose, is that it will have peaked by the end of January. And you'll be hoping that the current restrictions will be relaxed further by then.
Yeah, that's true. And let me just go back again to the point that you made previously there. Yes, a lot of musicians are in the entertainment business for their own self-satisfaction and their own creativity and so on. And we are as well, of course, as musicians, we need to be creative as well. But for us to be enabled to do what we do in terms of touring and being a full-time professional band, it has to be a business as well.
Of course.
And we've learned, Clem, believe me, we've learned that the hard way. Learned that the hard way down the road, do you know what I mean?
All right, Mick, I wish we had more time, but indeed we don't, because we're very, very busy. But certainly it's something that's common to all musicians in regards to how they're impacted, including the Druids at the moment, and Mick O'Brien, the lead singer with the group. And here's another sample of the entertainment they provide. Mick, thanks for joining us this morning, and good morning to you.
Thanks, Clem. Thank you.
By your side, then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side, you surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom.
Freedom!
We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Well, in the morning, we rose early. Just before the break of dawn, blackbirds singing in the bushes. You want this fight more? Oh, gather round, me men of Ireland. Gather Fenians, gather round, hand to hand with sword and musket. We'll spill our blood upon the holy ground. Then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side, you surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom.
Freedom!
We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian.
Rise in the morning with the Fenian band, Highland Paddy from the Druids, and so many musicians. Yes, we shouldn't forget them, how they've been impacted over the last 2 years and continue to be impacted with that. Still to come on the programme, who has won the €500,000 out in Crookstown? We'll be speaking to Seamus Riley of Crookstown Service Station about that, and we'll be reviewing the Kildare and Naas games over the weekend as well. But Owen, you're joined by Councillor Pádraig McAvoy now.
Yeah, absolutely, of the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, because the Municipal District meeting was held on Friday. Pádraig, good morning to you.
Owen, good morning to you and your listeners.
You wanted the Council to assess the very popular Slea na Sláinte on Capdhu Lane in Clane, particularly at peak traffic times, as the number of vehicles now using the laneway raises concerns for local pedestrians and residents.
There's quite a number of people live on that road, but quite an awful lot more tend to walk through it. It's a popular circular route. It's down to one lane wide in several places, and in addition to people accessing their homes, there's quite a number of cars now would use it. If the traffic builds up on the Kilcock or the Celebrity Road, some people tend to try to use it to cut around that delay. Unfortunately, that's putting the pedestrians and people coming and going from the houses at a bit of a risk, given the such of the volume. back when we had the pipe laying in the town, this road was used extensively for a while until the Gardaí decided it was unsafe and closed it off. So the municipal districts have indicated, the engineers have indicated that they've observed the traffic levels can be high at peak times. They don't plan to do anything until the bypass road is implemented, but we have asked them to put it on a schedule for road measurement, as there are other people have proposed different aspects. We want to see what the measurements are and see where we go from there.
Now, we had you on the programme when Clane was awarded €100,000 in the Town Centre First initiative, and you brought forward a question wanting the council to report how that initiative will run for Clane, including public engagement and consultation.
So it's a welcome announcement from the council following the government's allocation. So they're proposing to do a town centre master plan, and it'll be tailored to the issues that are in Clane. They'll establish those through consultation. They have a baseline. In 2018, we did the health check. That was funded from the local property tax, and that put us in a position to go after this funding. So while it was a long time coming, I think it's good to be able to see what the next step will be. The full terms and conditions haven't been issued by the department, believe it or not, so the council's waiting to finalise what they'll do. But we do plan to engage, maybe, obviously, with the internet, with COVID to some extent, and there will be workshops, which I hope, you know, that obviously indicates probably past the peak of the pandemic, probably into the summer, maybe outdoor. So that's to come.
Okay, and final then, motion, Pádraig, you wanted the council to outline the quantity of waste recovered from public roads within the Clane Maynooth Municipal District during 2021, and you also wanted the ongoing support to be detailed for volunteers who assisted with that in terms of dumping and litter gathering.
So, the public would be aware, generally speaking, the council do support those that are volunteering and picking up bags and pick up litter. They provide bags and litter pickers. They encourage the Green Kilometre initiative for people to kind of, for want of a better word, sponsor their locality. Maybe work with neighbours to keep an area cleaned. Many people would be aware of that. I asked them if they could indicate to us the quantity of waste. That wasn't forthcoming. It's something that's still being prepared. But at this time of year, the growth is at its lowest on the side of the road. The litter is the most obvious. And quite a number of people around Clane, I presume other areas, have been out over Christmas gathering bags, and the council have been removing those from the ditches. So it's an opportunity to do a little bit, maybe once or twice a week, a little bit of integrated litter picking with your daily walk. Some people get together to do some of the social events. So just to support the public that are doing that, and the council continues to do so.
All right, with those motions brought forward to the recent Clane Maynooth Municipal District meeting, that is Independent Councillor Pádraig McAvoy. And coming up after the break, we'll be looking back at a busy weekend of sport, particularly for the Kildare footballers and Naas footballers alike.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, before we proceed, earlier Ian was on the line from the Moorfield GAA Club Testing Centre saying that due to a malfunction in the software of the HSE website, they had over 960 slots available for PCR tests. Already 20 of them are going online. Let's get an update from Ciara. Ciara, what's happening there now?
Yes, good morning. I am just on the website and 2 moments ago I was on it. I'm just reloading it here on this computer here in Clemens studio. So just literally 2 minutes ago it was 735 appointments available at Moorfield GAA Club. Now it's 727 appointments available. Now that's in regards to today and tomorrow. So for today, for example, right now at 10:44, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 12, there's 14 appointments available today, the 10th of January, in Moorfield GAA Club for a PCR test. But tomorrow there are a lot of appointments available. Now, just to remind people, Clem, you can book a COVID-19 PCR test online if you're over 39 and have symptoms of COVID-19, if you're booking for a child who is under 4 and has symptoms of the virus, and if you've had a positive antigen test in the past 24 hours, and if you are a healthcare worker. So obviously there's been some changes, so people people are advised to head on over to the HSE's website, and it will take you a few minutes to just read through, and you will get hopefully to where you need to be going. So 14 Lovely. As of 10:44, but who knows with anybody going on in the next minute or so, because as I said, I was just on a few moments ago and there was more than that.
All right, great stuff. Thanks, Ciara, for that. So that's a couple of hundred already booked. Only 14 left for today, but that would leave nearly 675 available for tomorrow. If you go on the hse.ie, click on Book a Test and then click on County Kildare Moorfield GA Centre, which in fact is situated at the back of the Curra Racecourse if you want more. Let's do this now.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Okay, Ger McNally, you didn't win that €500,000 out in Crookston Service Station when you were on your way to the match or anything, no?
I wouldn't have been answering the phone this morning, Clem, if I did.
Well, that's two of us, Ger, in regards to, we'll talk to Seamus Riley in a couple of minutes' time, because they've previously sold €1 million winning ticket, by the way. Not a lot of people know that, as my friend Michael Kine might say. But, Ger, let's start with Saturday, Kildare. Very hard to read into it. Comprehensive win by the lads, but only about four or five players from either side were actually on the Leinster Championship clash of last year.
Yeah, six players across both sides, four for Kildare and two for Westmeath, that started on Saturday, that started that Leinster semi-final last July. So much changed lineups, and of course much changed sidelines as well. Glenn Ryan's first game, and alongside the all-star studded managerial team that he had beside him as well. And Westmeath also had Desi Dolan and John Keane, two former all-stars, drafted into their management team this year. So it was quite the star-studded sideline, but it was the action on the pitch that we were looking at. And I suppose Kildare were very impressive, albeit it has to be said that Westmeath, a very experimental Westmeath side, were pretty poor, to be honest. But Kildare did their best. They took their chances against that. The likes of Paddy Woodgate, who was playing in a senior jersey for the first time, obviously one of the stars of the under-20 team in 2018. He definitely took his chance, 6 points. Tony Archibald and Jack Sargent as well, I thought, were excellent too. And it wasn't all about the new boys as well.
And Jimmy, of course.
Jimmy was absolutely brilliant. And, he's definitely kind of nailed down that number 15 jersey in the last 12 to 18 months, and looks like he's not going to hand it over anytime soon.
Yeah, he kicked 7 points, 6 from play. Now, you mentioned Paddy Woodgate there, one of the rising stars. We spoke to him after the game.
Yeah, it was good to get the win, first of all. It was good to get a run out. We've been working hard the last 2 months, especially fitness-wise, and we haven't had to do much football yet, so it was good. Really high standard. We kicked 19 points, so very happy with that, and there's a lot to improve on. So personally, it's a good achievement, and I want to drive on. I'm happy enough with my performance, but there's a lot to improve on. It was a good team performance. Obviously, we had a lot of success in the past with under-20s and all, but that's in the past. We want to drive on now in the future with the senior team. So
nice mature clip there from Paddy Woodgate. Before we hear from Glenn, by the way, a reminder that these clips are parts of full interviews that Owen Beattie conducted following the match on Saturday, and you can hear those interviews in full on our Kildare Scoreboard programme this evening with Paul Parr from 6:30. Here's what Glenn had to say.
Oh, well, it's a good start and it's a good win, and it's our first game together collectively. So our first run out, really, our first bit of football. So happy that we got a result, and still loads and loads of stuff to work on. The most pleasing aspect was to be getting out on the pitch and playing football and getting competitive games. You know, there was talk at the start that the O'Byrne Cup may not be going on, but at the end of the day, it's a competitive game, and that's far better than any challenge match. So we're delighted to be on the field, and good to be getting people here into Newbridge, and good to get a bit of support.
Aside from the players mentioned, Ger, any other notable performances that you noted?
I saw Padraig Toohey from Eastdown. He was somebody maybe that a lot of people would have heard of, but he kicked 2 points in the first half on his Kildare senior debut as well. Adam Steed also on the score sheet too. Then in the back line, Tom Harrington came in for Murphy as well, had a good game too. And there's a few other players as well that would have had a small bit of taste of action before at senior level, the likes of Aaron O'Neill in goal, Kevin O'Callaghan in midfield, who all did well too. So this typical O'Byrne Cup fair, a mixture between some of the experienced players like Nick O'Grady, Paul Cribben as well. It was great to see him back after kind of injury hit 2021, and he played very well at centre half forward too. So obviously lots of rust, and a mixture between inexperienced and experienced players, some players on the fringe of things trying to push their way forward. So hopefully some of them will get a run out again on Thursday evening against Carlow and see what they can do. But obviously that game against Kerry in the first round of the National League at the end of the month looms large, and I'm sure Glenn will want to get as strong a team as possible out fairly quickly as well. The win does mean if they beat Carlow on Thursday that they will get another game in the competition as group winners into a semi-final, so that would be a help as well, I think.
All right, Chair. And of course, the next game is next Thursday evening in Netwatch Cullen Park, Dr. Cullen Park in Carlow Town, when Kildare play Carlow. We'll have full commentary of that game, by the way, for you on Thursday evening at 7:30. Fair play to you, Chair McNally, because you obviously be in training of late, because then you hightailed it out of Newbridge all the way up to Croke Park, where despite a decent first half performance by Naas, a half during which they missed a couple of good scoring chances, went in at the break only a point down, but failed to score at all in the second half. Now, they were hit by injuries beforehand, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek Kerwin, obviously a very, he's been probably Naas' best player right throughout the year, certainly their best scorer anyway, and he was a massive, massive miss. He got injured in training the week before the game. A huge blow for Dara himself, and it could affect maybe his Kildare season as well. It seems to be a pretty nasty calf injury, as it'll take a few weeks to get over. So it was a huge blow, obviously, for Dara, but for Naas as well. But they were right there at half time. I felt they probably just shaded the first half, and maybe were a little bit unlucky just to go in behind. But they played some really good football. Paddy McDermott, in particular, I thought was outstanding during that first half, but into the second half. And once kind of Kilmacud got a couple of scores on the board early in the second half to go from that 1 point half time lead ahead by 4 points. They had that bit of a gap, and then they kind of almost had a running down the clock with still 20 minutes to go. They kept long spells of possession football and the big open spaces of Croke Park. It was just difficult for Naas to get the hands on the ball during that period. And then when they did get the ball in the hand, they probably snatched their things a little bit. And maybe their inexperience of playing at that level kind of showed then in the latter part of the second half. And a disappointing end to it. And, you know, your heart to go out. We talked to Owen Boyle afterwards, and he was devastated. And
yeah. Well, let's hear indeed what Owen had to say, because he's a very decent guy, because win or lose, he always makes himself available. Croke Park, of course, always noisy for these interviews, but let's hear what Owen had to say.
At half time, I thought we were in a good position. I thought we were attacking well. Probably missed a few scores that we should have got. But second half, I don't know, for whatever reason, they clipped over 2 or 3 points. They got that 2, 3, 4 points ahead, and then they just controlled it from there on in. From their perspective, it was excellent time management and game management. They were just they were that bit more experienced in that second half, and we probably lacked a bit of the power and the know-how up front to break down what they were showing us.
That were a big loss, of course.
Big loss, yeah, of course it was. Yeah, look at no more than Alex and no more than Paul McDermott. You know, they're all, not only they're all forwards, but they're all big, strong, powerful forwards, and we probably lacked a bit of that in the second half. But you don't want anybody to miss a game of this magnitude for the club, whether it's a Crokes man or an Ace man, because they're few and far between. But that's part and parcel of sport as well. Of being there myself, it's not nice. But well, Dara tore his calf. Suspected to tear in the calf. Not 100% sure yet. Paul probably tore his hamstring last week. Brian Steins is suspended, and then Alex has an ongoing hamstring injury.
That's just part of an interview we'll carry with Owen Doyle at 6:30 this evening. Despite your man shouting in the background about, "I'm closing the gates, lads, you're going to get locked in, Chair."
I nearly did get locked in, that's another story, but but yeah, no, your heart would go out to Owen, because obviously, I mean, every club bar one team finishes their season with a defeat, and all the kind of the highs that Naas enjoyed, unfortunately, forgotten about for a while on Saturday evening, because they were devastated after that. But I'm sure when they have time to reflect on everything that's gone before, they'll look back on some great memories. And there were some lovely pictures with Owen and his daughter on the pitch, and Eamon Callaghan as well with his son as well, and like, they're magical memories that they'll last for a lifetime.
Well, they did us proud, I can tell. Absolutely. You, they've done this county proud, and every club was behind them in their endeavours, and they have nothing to be ashamed of or anything else, because they went down fighting. And now the focus turns for Naas, of course, to next Sunday at 1 o'clock in St Conan's Park, when they play Wexford side Islegate Glenbryne in the Leinster Intermediate Hurling Final. We'll have full commentary of that game, and also the previous Saturday, the day next Saturday at 1 o'clock, also in St Conan's Park. Let's wish the best to the Kilcullen footballers who contest the Leinster Junior Football Final, and they're playing Clonbillogue from Offaly in that, and we'll have full commentary on that as well. And a potential clash, Chair, very briefly, for the hurlers next Sunday is that the Naas hurlers run at 1 o'clock. The Kildare County hurlers, a panel of 38 was announced yesterday, are also due to play Carlow at the same time. And the dilemma is that the same man manages the Naas hurlers and the Carlow senior hurlers, both teams playing at different venues at the same time. A tough one for Tom O'Lally.
Yeah, I just got confirmation there in the last 20 minutes of that, actually, that hurling match for the county hurling match in the Joe Cup has been pushed back a little bit, so it'll be 4 p.m. now, a throw-in in the Fenner training centre down in Carlow. So Tom Mullally will be, I'm sure, racing out of Newbridge, hopefully after a victory for Naas and hightailing it down the road to try and get down on time for that one. That's a little later.
Well done to you, Superman Ger McNally, doing two games, Newbridge and Croke Park on Saturday, and also Philly Wolf for great, great analysis as well. As some fella put up on Twitter yesterday, what I love about KFM is the halftime analysis, boil water notices for Monaster Evan, and some great music from the likes of Elton John and Dua Lipa. Who are those, he said. But he didn't ask who Ger McNally is, the legend. Thank you indeed, Ger, for that, and a very good morning to you. Now, here's a man I want to touch base with, because, by the way, our thanks to our sponsors, Hand and Concrete Products of Robertstown, for the Kildare coverage on Saturday, and Auxilia Management Consultants Millennium Park Naas for their ongoing coverage of Naas. They'll be aboard with the hurlers next week as well. Seamus Riley, good morning.
Morning, Clem. How are you?
Please, I'll be a lot better when you tell me it's I who won the €500,000.
Well, unfortunately not, no, Clem, but somebody's won it anyway. We don't know yet.
The ticket was bought when?
It was bought on Friday night. It was in the Euro Lotto. And we sold one of the sections of it, which was 500,000. And we got word from the Lotto, and they gave me a phone call on Friday night, and it was a bit of good news anyway. We said Santi was coming. He's always a little bit late.
You haven't noticed anyone who's going around in a hoodie there trying to keep themselves disguised?
No, there was a lad in here this morning on a new Honda 50, and we're watching out. After 40 years, we literally know that we would see a woman in with a new fur coat or we'll be watching out. Yeah, it's after putting a great bit of crack around the service station and the shop and all that.
And I have to say this about you before any tickets were won. The one thing about Crookstown service station, the music and chat you hear on the SIST sound system in there is always KFM. But Seamus, this is not the first time you've sold a huge winning ticket. Previously, million euro ticket.
Yeah, we were lucky. This is, you know, when luck is in the air, you know, you have to grab it anyway, you know. And this year, the year just have to be ended with this C word and the whole lot that's happening. For this to come about was great, because it lifts everybody, the staff and the customers and all that.
Did you ever find the winner of the €1 million ticket?
No, that's the gas thing about it. That was last April. We had a million, as you know yourself, we had a million in the ordinary lotto, and we never found out. We tried to endeavour anyway to see could we find out, but it wasn't. It obviously wasn't a local. We'd have some idea.
Right, and last year you sold a scratch card which won 100,000 euro.
Yeah, and it's gas, you know, when you say 19 million is the Irish one and all that, but it's only when you put down 500,000 you actually write it down. There's an awful lot of knots attached to it anyway, so there's a lot of spending on it, you know, so it's kind of achievable for most people, you know. Anybody can use up 500,000, whether they're paying off for a loan for a house or...
Well, I'll tell you, you're a great family, and it's a lovely place to call in. And I'm coming down now for to buy my ticket later and fill up
with it. And it's great. I just heard the lads on there at the minute. Isn't it great for Kildare football there? Fantastic there, the lads, the winning on Saturday.
Naas did us all proud, I have to say. Seamus, look, you've a lovely staff there. It's a great old centre.
Okay, thanks.
And we're going to send our detectives out to check on anybody's to see has their behaviour changed in the last couple of days since Friday. But somebody either passing by or somebody in the local area of Crookstown, Moon, Ballytore is a €500,000 richer this morning. Check your tickets, folks, if you've been into Crookstown service station, and Seamus O'Reilly and his team. Seamus, lovely talking to you.
Okay, best of luck. You're doing a great job. Thanks.
Thank you, and you too, likewise.